You might like to turn to, in your Bible as we open our evening service to Ephesians chapter 2. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you for your personal presence and involvement. Here we are, God, do that which you do so well, and help us in your grace and mercy. And our Father, we're going to thank you, deal with the sick, the weak, the wayward. God, help us one and all. And we'll look to you with thanksgiving. In Christ's name we pray, amen. In Ephesians, as you would know, in Ephesians and chapter 2 and verse 1, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past, when you were not alive, quickened. He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the children of disobedience, the unbelieving, among whom also we all had our conversation, we were all part of it, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So here's the verse 2 of the satanic system. We looked at it, the outworking of the times of the Gentiles, as they are outworked, and as history has proceeded to where it is at the present moment. And in the process of that, as we are there, and thus Israel on the bottom, Israel is in straits, trying to survive, succeed, trying to find the answers and hoping they'll come from somewhere. And in the process, all of that. So, as the nations are all working out, going down, the devil has a plan, and all of them are going to come together to fulfill that plan, the plan of the devil, Satan, the god of this world. Now, so here's our economy, as we share, and it's the economy is going, and the economy is a world global economy, and thus, economy, money, product, oil, goods, possessions, all of those things are major to all of the world. So the economy is a player on the field, and the educational system is another player on the field, and it's the failure, success, and what the thinking is and what people are being taught or not taught, what they're learning and not learning, all of that is going to come to play, is coming to play. And the people thus coming forth are taking positions based on what they understand. The people that knew something disappear, retire, die, and the new people don't know. And then you come to the employment world and the world, employment, and we are understanding that a little better in the light of the world in our own country. And thus you have the economy and the education and the employment, and you have the crime and drugs and drink and all of that stuff to boot. And then you want to add to that society's solutions. Society is trying to solve, but they have a plan, like we shared in the dinner, the back room politics that govern what's going on all over the place, in everything. Now, in the light of that, you have the straw man. A straw man is something you put out so that you don't pay attention. You look and go after the straw man, and you miss the real objective of what's going on. Our government is real good at straw men, putting them out. They put straw men out so that we lose what's happening really what should be put up front and people should be alarmed about. We bury it by having an item over here, an item over there. The media takes it and runs with it. That's all we hear. They aren't saying straw man, and we have them. Now, what does that do? Well, that allows the system to work. And the system, we wouldn't like the system if we really, really, really could stand up and see the global system, what it's really doing in Italy and all of the countries, including our own. We would be duly alarmed about it. But it's sort of kept low. And we look at the environment. We talk about the environment issues. We talk about human right issues, women's issues, child rights, animal rights. And we have all of the different global warming, and we have all these issues. Straw men. So we don't pay attention. They're out there. And we got them all over the place. And the world's busy looking at the straw man and trying to solve and spending lots of money and time, and we aren't paying attention to what's really happening. And then you have these situations, all of that we have in all the world, that are made impossible to solve because the solutions are not forthcoming, and the problems, because of all of the straw men and all of that, the solutions that we look for aren't found because they really aren't the problems. So we're trying to solve problems that really aren't the problem, and we're caught up in that. So there are no solutions. There are no solutions to any of it. And all the while, the groups are merging in one way or another, coming together across the world in one way or another. And thus, you don't have a universal understanding of the problem. You don't have that. So, in the light of that little bit of thinking, that's our world right now. And Israel's very realistic in trying to deal with it, but boy, the rest of the system isn't cooperating. And often in Israel, they have a whole group of people that don't care. Israelites that don't care. Just like you have liberals, Protestants, Catholics, Muslims, liberals. You have them. They don't care. Now, having said that little bit, over with me, please, to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew and chapter 24. Our Lord, projecting into the future, and in the day of his own troubled times that he lived in. And Matthew 24 is going to answer, remember, in verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign," there's your word sign we did this morning, "the sign of his coming, and of the end of the world, the end of the age." Having said that, then verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you," because you're going to get tricked about this whole thing, which is what I'm just trying to help you with from one window. It's all a straw man at it. You're missing, the world's missing what's happening. "Take heed that no man deceive you," verse 4. Verse 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying I am Christ," and what are they going to do? They're going to deceive many. Over to verse 11, "Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." That's what they're going to do. Verse 13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Verse 14, "And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." The end's going to come. Over, if you would, verse Verse 24. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs. There's your word, signs and wonders. That's what they're going to do. Just think of the morning message. Signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. They're going to be so effective in the signs and wonders that they do to deceive even the people that are thinking right, are going to wonder if they are thinking right. If they're thinking right. Now, in adding to that, over to chapter 24, and going to verse 6, 24 and verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. There is an end. We read that. But it isn't yet. It isn't yet, the Lord said. Wars and rumors of wars and troubling times are going to be there. Now, having said that, then let's take another jump to where the last living apostle who wrote the last thing God is going to say till he comes, Revelation chapter 6, the apostle John. Revelation and chapter 6. And in Revelation chapter 6, and remember, you begin chapter 6 through 19, and you're looking at the tribulation. Remember the world, the Israel is only going to be saved because of the tribulation. Israel is going to be saved because of the tribulation. The world is going to make tribulation, cause it. The world's going to cause the tribulation to really snowball. And Israel, that snowball has to exist for Israel to be saved. Israel does not respond to niceness. They respond when you twist their arm and put them in hard knocks. Then they pay attention. Like a lot of people, you got to put them in hard places before they pay attention. Now, so chapter 6 begins. I just want you to get the flavor. God, Matthew 24, the Lord says, look out the window and look ahead and see what's going to happen. Deception and all kinds of things, trouble, but it's all going to work itself out. Revelation chapter 6. And in verse 1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And the word come is a command in the present tense. Middle, you come and see, John. You come and see. Both are commands. Come and see. I want you to come. I'm going to show you something. I want you to see it. I want you to come over and I want you to see something. Then he goes on to the seals are going to be all opened. I'll give you one of them here. And I saw, and behold, the white horse, and he that sat on him that had a bow and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And of course, that's the Antichrist. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard and see the second beast saying, now what? The same sequence, same words, come and see. I want you to, you see the first one? You watch the first event, the Antichrist coming. Peace. You want peace? He's going to come and bring peace at the cost of war. He's going to come and bring peace. Aha. Did you see that, John? John, I want you to come and see the next thing. Come and see. And then went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword, etc. Now, verse 3, verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, come and see. Again, commands, third time. Do you see the next thing? I want you to pay attention to what's coming. What's coming? And then you want to go over to verse 7. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. So all the way, Revelation 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, God says, I want you to, John, I want you to see it. I want you to see it, and you're going to write it. But I want you to see it. See it. So it's in the, here's the future, into the tribulation, which is going to have to happen because of the world's condition, godless condition. The God of this world is going to pursue it, and the Israel is going to have it to get saved, etc. Now, so come and see, come and see, come and see. Over to chapter 11. The world system now, looking at the shadow, the harbinger, what are they, all of the conditions that we're in, they're there. They don't, you don't make them, they're just there. And so here is Revelation chapter 11, and along among the many statements that are helpful, here is one of them. And in verse 14, 11 and 14, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of the world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, so here's heaven resounding, the battle's on, all of it has to take place, and God is going to, that's how God's going to fix everything by way of tribulation, help Israel, by way of tribulation, reach the nations for judgment, by way, and all the way into the millennium. So now, and thus, okay, so the heavens rejoicing, we're in the game, and the game is on a winning course with tribulation. Over, if you would, to verse 18, 11 and 18. And the nations are angry. We're angry. And thy wrath is come. Now, what's going to happen as all of the tribulation's going? Here's all the nations. Now, what do you know? When the toes of iron and clay come together, the ten of them, and out of it comes the Antichrist, leading it all. And so is the system that they're controlling the world, basically. So are they, is there anyone, remember the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11, that we started with? They're going to come back to that. It's going to end with that. And now, in the Tower of Babel, God didn't say, well, if I just give them a few words of encouragement, they'd fix it. No, he said, if I don't scatter them, they'll never fix it and they'll get worse. In the tribulation now, Tower of Babel again, finishing it off, Babylon, finishing it off, their heart is set just like it was in Genesis 11. They don't intend to fix anything. They're dead set to do what they're doing, and God, as Psalm 2 in that, they're going to shake their fist at God. Literally, they're going to shake their fist at God. A nations. Now, having said that, and here's heaven rejoicing, the game plan is on, and they're going to win. And in verse 18, the nations are angry, angry, angry. And the word angry means to be provoked. It means to be provoked with vengeance. With revenge. It has a word, not only anger, provoked for revenge, to kill. Wow. They aren't happy. They are not happy at all. Chapter 14, and in verse 8. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. See, they're going to get drunk with that which is totally opposing good grace God. Opposing it. Drunk. Now, is it getting better? No, it's not getting. The trouble's getting more troubling. And if you read, and we could try to, Revelation 6, 7, 8, 9, and you're going to find that if you were living on planet Earth tomorrow when this happens, it's no picnic. I got to tell you, it is no picnic for the world, let alone for a country. Wow. So now, over in chapter 16, and in verse 19. And the great city was divided into three parts, the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. So both God is all riled up about fixing it, and they're all riled up to make it not be fixed. So this conflict. Is there any way for peace? None whatsoever. The only way for peace is victory. And the war, Armageddon, trouble, very troubling. So if I didn't know anything, I just read that, and I read Matthew, and I put the rest of the pieces together, as we did last time and all that last Sunday. As we're coming down the corridor here, wow, wow. It's trouble, but it's nothing like the trouble that's going to be. Now, God, here we are. And you told us over Revelation 3, we'll just look at it. To the church in Philadelphia, you remember the statement made by the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, bearing up under, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, trial, which shall come upon all the world, what for? To try them that dwell in the earth, to make a great troubling test. I'm going to test them in their troubles. In their troubles, they're going to flunk the test, just like we did with Jeremiah on Wednesday and that kind of thing. Jeremiah is testing. He's the smelter, testing the metal of Israel before the Nebuchadnezzar comes, and he tests the metal. And when he's all done looking, when he's tried everything, as he heats and tries to get if there's any silver in the nugget, if there's any gold in the nugget, is there anything we can get out? And there's nothing. When you do everything you can, extra smelting to get out, it is worthless. Israel has no good in it at all. So when God is going to judge Israel, and by Nebuchadnezzar, his judgment isn't because he couldn't find any good. He couldn't find any good. What do you do when you can't find anything good in the rock? You throw it away. You put it aside. God, you're going to test the nations, and you're going to put aside at the judgment of the nations, Matthew 25, the judgment of Israel, you're going to put aside goats and sheep, and you're going to separate the whole thing. Wow. Now, having said that, that's where we're headed. So now, God, I don't want to be troubled. Don't want to be. Don't. That was belongs in the title. Don't be troubled. Don't be. The don't. There's no don't there. But I'm going to add you don't. In case when you read that, don't be troubled. Now, over if you would. How? So, John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And if I may, in going directly in the light of the upper room, what's going to happen? The Lord is going to go out into the garden, and he's going to be betrayed and tried so terribly, and then be crucified. Is there any good coming? Mm-mm. Tough times, you bet. But God is going to help them. Chapter 16, verse 33, you'll remember. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So these things have I'm speaking unto you, I have spoken them, and they remain for you, perfect tense, they remain. And you are in the world, and in the world that you are in, you're going to have tribulation, trying, pressure, squeezing. All the things that are going to go, that burden, that bother, that puts you out of business, that make you so you have no hope, no help. These things have I spoken unto you because in the world you're going to have this kind of pressure brought to bear on you. Let me give it to you in the future in a little way quickly. That pressure is going to be brought to bear in the tribulation. In what way? You mean pressure. Pressure. Because in the tribulation, what's going to happen? Revelation 13, 16, 17, etc. You can't buy a cell without the what? Without the mark of the beast. That's pressure. Pressure. Wow. In the world, you got it now, and we just mentioned what's happening to make conditions, as they did in the dinner and all that stuff. And in the conditions that you have, you are not going to repeat them. Everything is moving, and it's changing. So now, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. The word cheer, confidence, courage, we'll go back to that. And it's in the present tense, it's a command. Be of good cheer, be full of courage and full of confidence. And the reason, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. And I'll get it for you fast here. 1 John 4, greater. Don't be overcome. Why are you overcome? When I'm there and I can't be overcome and everything is pressing into you, then you let it press right into you all the way to me in here. And you'll find that Philippians 4:7, the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart. And here comes the pressures in like that. But they can't go anywhere. You see? If you had I'm trying to think of something strong. The on the plates on a battleship in the very strategic places, here is this steel iron or whatever it is, thick, so that anything hits it. Now you have the great karate champions of the world. Now, and they break the broom board in two. But the enemy of the world, with all the pressure, doesn't break through the battleship armor. God, the armor of God, Ephesians 6, the armor of God that you have is thick. And you hit the armor, and you can blast the armor, and throw bullets at the armor, and bombs at the armor. Doesn't do any good. And the peace of God will guard your heart. Now, having said that, and keeping that little bit in front, so God, you're going to guard against discouragement, so that we don't lose. Discouragement is dis, to take it away, to reverse something. You have courage, and then you lose courage. You lose it. You lose your heart. You lose your courage. You lose your bravery. You lose it. And you fall. You fall victim because you lost your courage. Be of good cheer. Be of good courage. It's a command. Now, having said that, picking up, and remember now, here you're looking at John chapter 13. So where am I going to look? I have to be careful. John chapter 13. And in verse 21, when Jesus had said he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Now, you say you have courage. Jesus, you're troubled. Are you going to get all discouraged? No. Right in your own camp, you've got a Judas. That's right. I only got 12, and one of them is a Judas. Now, go a little more. In the upper room, because they're there, they're all sitting there, and he's trying to tell them to be of good courage. Over in chapter 13, and in verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou, Jesus?" And answered him, "Whither shall I go? Thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." And Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will even lay down my life for thee." That sounds good. And Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock will not crow till thou hast denied me three times." And so here's Judas, one of the 12. Here's Peter, one of the 12. Chapter 14, verse 5, Thomas, one of the 12. They're all there. And the Lord, should you be troubled? Where's the encouragement from your friends? Where's the encouragement from your family? Where's the encouragement? You didn't do that, Lord, did you? No, I didn't. I found stability in looking to God. And that's why you've read in the Gospel of John in our study a little bit, that God did not. He said, "I do not need the witness. I do not need confirmation from humans. I have a heavenly witness. I don't need any human to confirm who I am at all. I reject humans at this point that way." Now, so here, I hear now, you're ready, John chapter 14, and in verse 1. So God, you're encouraged. I am. I'm not looking to the system or to people. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And the word trouble, present tense, it's a command. Don't be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be troubled. The word trouble, to disturb, to agitate. It's used of water in a storm. The storm and the water gets all agitated in the ocean. That's the word. When the wind blows, like today a little bit, and the wind blows and the wind agitates the trees. That's the word. Agitate. To disturb the mind. Don't let your heart get so disturbed, so distraught. Don't let that happen at all. Don't be troubled. with fear, perplexity. Don't let that happen. Believe, 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 present tense, believe. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe. Now, Thomas, remember, Thomas is struggling. So, and here's another lesson for us. The Lord said, don't trust humans. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust your flesh. Trust God. Trust the Word of God. We tried to do it a little bit in 6 o'clock. You want to read, you kind of want to come to God with singing. And we talked, said a couple of thoughts. But I'm going to add another one that's better. You read the Word of God until it sings to you. Read the Word of God until it sings to you. It sings. And it will. You say it won't. Oh, yes, it will. Yes, it will. God is some God. And the Spirit of God is going to take the reality of your life and the world we live in. And as you allow it to happen in your mind and heart, you will have a wonderful... I don't want to lose my thought. In Psalm 32, God surrounds us. Oh, hold your finger here. All right. Psalm 32. In Psalm 32, picking up, please. Directly. Verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto thee. Great trouble, great hardship, danger. Uh-huh. Well, God, what are you going to do? Verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou hast compassed, surrounded me like a city, a wall. Thou hast surrounded me with songs of deliverance. God, they're your songs. I want to learn them. You want to learn those songs. And you go through and God will sing the truths, the wonderful truths of the peace of God that passes all understand. It's going to get to you. You got to let it happen. You don't let it happen? Nothing. Nothing. Wow. So now, back over to John 14. In John chapter 14, picking up, please, in thought. And remembering now, you have the sequence and going, and here's all of the disciples, and they're going to be encouraged and stimulated and exercised. They hear, but they don't understand yet. They will at the day of Pentecost. It'll all come together. All the pieces, you have pieces, but you've got to be able to put them together. And if you can't put them together, they don't come out. Very good. And in thus, here's just skipping if I can, chapter 15, and going, if I may now, to verse 25. 15. Before we do that, go to chapter 14. Chapter 14, and we'll do that first. Chapter 14, and picking up, please, in verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. So here he is, helping them, and he's going out in the garden, they're going to crucify him, everything's going, and the disciples, and they're all going to go, they don't know what to do, and they all back off, they don't know what to do. Peter tries to follow at a distance and ends up denying the Lord. Judas goes and hangs himself. Wow. Now, so here in chapter 14, verse 25, I have told you these things. So, we're reading Matthew 24, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Revelation chapter 6, etc., etc. I got it. I'm not lacking anything. If I have it, it's right in front of me. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. So the Spirit of God has a wonderful, wonderful ministry, and he's going to go and encourage and comfort. He's going to come to our aid like a court in a court of justice. He's going to come and be our legal help to help us. And we are going to be able in God's ableness, not in our own ableness, as we did in 6 o'clock, not in your own faithfulness. It's God's faithfulness that keeps you faithful. If you don't have that, then you'll never be faithful. You're trying to put it in your own energy and effort, and isn't going to make it. So now, having said all that a little bit, and if I can, and thus in verse 27, then in the process, peace, I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. I'm going to leave you with my peace, present tense. I am going to give you, present tense, my peace. I'm going to give it to you. It's a gift. It's a gift, a wonderful, wonderful present. I'm going to give you the peace I have. God, how are you handling? You're going to go out in the garden, and you're going to pray, take this cup from me, and not my will, but thy will be done. And they're going to come, and Judas is going to betray you with a kiss, and all of that's going to happen. They're going to teach you, be so cruel to you, Isaiah 53, that they won't be able to recognize your face. They are so going to beat you up. They are so going to mar you that you will not be recognized. That's what they're going to do. Are you going to let that happen? God said, yeah. Yeah, it's part of the package. Part of the package to bear the sin of the world. Uh-huh. Now, God, here we are. So, looking, and in the process, you're looking for peace. And the world, not as the world giveth, verse 27. I'm not going to give you that kind of peace. I have peace. I have wonderful peace with God. And I'm able to handle anything and everything in the wonderful wholeness, completeness, the wonderful tranquility that transforms a soul to be able to handle anything. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. What's it going to do? It's going to help you so you want and lack nothing. You'll be stable. You want, I got to have. No, I don't got to have nothing. Nothing. Is that right? No, I don't. Wrong. And you and I want to stay in that place and stay there. I don't need anything. I just need you, God. And I need to be responsible for everything I do. And I try to do that. But I don't need. And neither do you. In the light. Now, that doesn't take away your responsibilities, duties, and all that stuff. Now, in the light of that, verse 27, and the world giveth, I don't give it to you. I give unto you, and as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart, there it is again, oh again, let not your heart be troubled, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, don't let it be agitated. You said it again to him. I did. Because it's a heart problem, because you got to be able to look at stuff and the realities of life, and they're there, they don't go away. You wish they'd go away, but they don't. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, just to see this in a little different way, Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. And if I can, chapter 31. May I pick up, please, in verse 6. Moses speaking, look at verse 1, 31, verse 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all, A-L-L, Israel. What were they? Verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth with thee. He that goeth with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 7, Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, put him on the spot, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Verse 8, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. How are you going to go forward, Joshua? You know the people, you know Moses has lived with this murmuring, mumbling crowd. And now they're subdued to be in submission. And in the process, Joshua, you are given an assignment to go forward with them, to take them across the Jordan. You know how it's going to end, Joshua 24:24. He's going to tell them just like Moses. Joshua said, you could make it, people, but your heart has to get right. And you know what happens, don't you? The book of Judges, everyone does that which is right in his own eyes. Right downhill again. But Joshua, did you hang in there? He did. Lord, what are you telling Peter, James, and John? They need to hang in there. They need to understand in the trouble, no trouble is that troubling to trouble you enough to quit. You have to have a commitment. Whatever that means. Commitment. That's hard to find. Wow. Commitment. Yeah. Now, so, back over if you would please, to the Gospel of John. And in chapter 15. John chapter 15. I'll just give you the thought anyway. John 15. Now, and think of all the things here. John chapter, and we're going to go. God, you're going to give us all these wonderful things to be aware of. And in the world, if I can, going directly to verse 18, 15, 18. And if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, I assume that hated is the opposite of love. I assume that. And I assume that if you're being hated, it isn't always positive. I assume that being hated is not so good to be hated, the opposite of love, to reject the word, Hebrew word, reject, to repudiate, to show contempt for. The world is going to hate you. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world hates you. Contempt for you. Contempt. We love them. No, that's only in the veneer, on the outside. No. Now, having said that, in the hatred, verse 20, remember the word that I have said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. And if they have persecuted me, they also will persecute you. And if they have kept my saying, they also keep yours. If you honor me and honor my word, verse 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. They don't know God the Father, and they don't honor God the Father. And therefore, you're going to honor me. And they will not honor you because you honor me. So it isn't going to happen very much at all. Chapter 16. So, now God having said, and And I'll read verse 23. I don't want to miss it. He that hateth, chapter 15, verse 23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. So be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. We're going to look to God, love God, and we're going to get the trouble that comes. Trouble, but because you don't honor our system. No, I don't honor the system. I don't honor it. I don't honor it at all. I can't honor it. I don't intend to honor it at all. I hope I die. I hope I die so I, before I dishonor it. Wow. Going to honor God, the system. And I'm going to warn people about the system, where it's going. Now, chapter 16, God anticipating everything about our human nature. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. Don't be stumbling. Think of bait in a trap. Bait is in the trap. And the animal goes, sees the bait, takes the bait, the trigger hits the bait, the trigger falls, boom, the animal's caught. Don't be offended. Don't be offended. You should not be offended. God told you these things. Well, we don't want to have, like the Pharisees, Nicodemus, not like that. They didn't want to get kicked out of the synagogue, so they didn't want to talk about the Lord. They made it believe they didn't know him. Like Peter, oh, I don't know him. Aren't you one of his? Disciple, no, I don't know him. No. And what do we want to do? Well, offended. Persecution? I don't, believer means you're going to be on course. That doesn't mean you aren't reasonable and nice and everything. It just means you're on course and you're going to hang in there and say the right thing, do the right thing anyway, and God help us to do it with good common sense. Now, in the light of all of that, we don't want to be offended. People are offended. Offended. We aren't going to get along with the government? No, not necessarily. Get along with people? No. Foes will be those of your own what? Your own house. So relax. Don't be offended. And then they shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh when whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth what? God's service. They're going to think they honored God. Now the Muslims do it. They feel they're going to get extra privileges if they die in heaven, if they can go and strap bombs around them and go blow up things. They're going to do that. And the ecumenical movement, which we'll catch somewhere here, the ecumenical movement is against biblical Christianity. It's against you if you're going to be a believer. And you say, well, they're going to go and persecute. You bet they are. The greatest, I can't give it to you now. One of the countries, I forget which one. One of the countries, the greatest persecutors of Christian believers was the Methodist Church. Was not the Muslims, the Methodist Church. I know I was a Methodist, you know. Wow. Now, John chapter 16. I've got to quit. John chapter 16. And, going quickly, verse 3. These things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. They're going to do them. These things have I told you, that when the time comes, when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you them. And that these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going and you're going to get it. I'm the center. But when I step aside, when the head goes, the body remains. And if the head, just use your imagination, if my head is protected from the elements, but my body is exposed, my body is going to get, the head was getting it, but now the head's protected, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the body, the believers that are alive on planet Earth, they're going to get it. That's right. They're going to get it. And in the process, verse 5, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and And none of you are asking me where I go, because if you knew, if you really thought about it, I'm going away so that you can have great ability and power. And thus, you remember in verse 6, we've done it 100 times. And because I have said these things unto you, I told you, if you're going to be a believer, it's going to cost you something. It's no picnic, and when there's a club, we aren't a little nice group of religious people coming to have an activity. We aren't trying to be that. You can't be that before God. We ought to be God's people, rolling up our sleeves, looking to a great God in a world that is troubled and troubling and persecuting to the nth degree, ultimately, Israel. And we are here, and we are going to get it in the process. And God, we're going to honor you, and as nicely as we can, to represent you in work, home, school, and be a good testimony wherever we can be. And in the process, if you let sorrow fill your heart, that all these things, God said, don't let your heart get so full of sorrow, so sad, depressed. Don't let that happen. If I remember right, John 16:33, you told me, God, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace in the world. My peace I give unto you. In the world you shall have tribulation. Got that part. Be of good cheer, courage, confidence. That part I need. That part. Be of good courage and confidence. Roll up your sleeves. Don't let sorrow fill your heart, because then you're useless. There's no punch to you. Wow. And God, we can make it. We can. Thank God. Thank God. The task. What he asks of us. Where he leaves us. You know, you could get saved. Everyone that gets saved, I don't know how it would work. Everyone that gets saved immediately goes to heaven. I don't know who would tell you, because the guy that's telling you, hopefully he's saved, he can't hang around to tell you about, if you could imagine that. An angel from heaven. And each one goes up. God, that isn't what you're doing, God. No. I'm leaving them out there in the world. So the world will pay attention. It's their heaven. It's your hell. This is the best they're going to have. This is it. That's the worst you're ever going to have. Isn't that good? So when you look at all your terrible things in your life, it's the worst you're ever going to have. Wow. Now, so God, thank you. Thank you that the task is more than. And what you require of us in that relationship, you make possible for us. And you are indispensable for our success. In closing, would you go over with me, please, to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 22. No, chapter 20 first. Chapter 20, verse 22. The Apostle Paul on his journey. And remember, he was told in the very beginning, you're going to suffer many things and have hard things of kings and everyone else. You're going to have a tough road, Paul, but you have an assignment. Jeremiah had an assignment. Paul has an assignment. We have an assignment. Acts chapter 20, verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. But, save, I know this, that the Holy Ghost is witnessing in every city to me, saying, he's sending me to Jerusalem, and he's telling me, bonds and affliction abide me. I'm going to have hard times. I'm going to have them. And God forewarned. John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. God tells you, you're going to have hard times. Matthew 24, you're going to have hard times. He tells us ahead, now. So thus, Paul, what are you going to do? What are you going to do then? Escape? No. But none of those things move me. Why not? Neither count I my life dear unto myself. You mean it's all about whether your rights and your comfort and your business? No, it's all about honoring God's wonderful outworking, the wonderful plan in my ordinary life in an extraordinary way. Now, verse 24, and none of those things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, J-O-Y, and the ministry service which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I'm going to go down the corridor of time. Now he's going, and God, now what are you going to do, God? He took it, he's going down to Jerusalem. Chapter 23, please. In going directly to verse 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer. That's what you just read in John 16 and 33. Be of good cheer, courage, confidence. Paul, going down the road, be of good cheer. Don't lose your courage. Don't lose your confidence. Stay with it. Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, thou must bear witness also at Rome. And if you thought Jerusalem was bad, hey, listen, I have a Rome appointment for you. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, Paul. It's a journey. It's my will. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I surround you with songs of deliverance. I'm there. That's why you can do it. You aren't alone. I'm with you. You see. But if I don't practice like you did 6 o'clock, if you don't practice the presence of God, then you're alone for all practical purposes. And you're all alone. And when you're all alone and the odds are insurmountable, boy, you lose heart, don't you? You get discouraged. Wow. Anyway, trouble, but nowhere near the trouble that's coming. And the trouble that you're in, don't be troubled. It is troubling, but don't you be troubled by it. It's all going to work out. The trouble, the tribulation, Israel and the nations and your future. I'll take care of it. Be of good cheer. Our Father and God, we thank you that we can just take a few moments and, God, encourage and stimulate the heart that we would be the wonderful recipients of your word, your work, your grace. God, thank you. Thank you very, very much. Give safety and encouragement to the heart as we drive, as we live, as we come, as we go, in work, in school, in sickness, and all the different things, God. God, who's going to? God, you have to. Aha. Yes, sir. And so, God, we're looking to you, and we're going to trust you with all our little heart. And God, thank you very much that we could do so. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. And you may like to sing a stanza, if you would, in the hymnal 412.